This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. If you have your Bibles, open those up to Genesis 1. You kind of wait for us there. If you have the app on your phone, it's a great place to follow along. Some people are using their Rooted books to take notes. Good thing to write down different stuff. And as we get started, I wanted to say a couple of things. One, to everybody, it's been an interesting 7 months, hasn't it, to be in COVID and not see people. I was reminded today, there's some people I haven't seen for about 7 months, and we know that you'll tell me I see you on Sunday, but we don't see you. And so it's really hard to keep connections and keep fellowship. We want to say we miss everybody online. We haven't seen you in a while, and just we're praying for you and just asking God to work in your life and just appreciate everybody in the room as well. The church is built on God's love and with fellowship, and when you don't see each other, it just makes it that much harder. So keep going, keep hanging in there. God is working, God is good, and it's good to have people in the room, good to have you online as well. Then online, we want to do something a little bit different today. I'm working on a D-Min right now. I've been doing it for 6 years, seems like forever in my life. And one of the things I'm working on is a paper, and I've got to put everything together. And we know kind of what was going on before COVID. And when COVID happened, things just changed. So we have a question for those online. We want you to do us a favor. We know how many devices are on. Like right now, we know there's 20 devices on that are watching the service, but we don't know how many people that is. So if you're online under the comments section, can you just tell us how many people are experiencing the worship service on your device? So if you're in a room and you're watching it just by yourself, put the number one in a comment. If you're sitting there next to somebody, put the number two or more people in the room. If each person's sitting side by side and you each have your device, that's a one for each one. So if you'll put that down, we're putting those numbers together. And then one day, Lord willing, I'll be done with this paper and I'll be able to move on. But God has taught me so much through it. Really, it's a paper focused on what God is doing here at Bridges, has been doing for years as we just waited on Him and relied on Him, depended on Him. And so you were the subject of my paper. So thank you for doing that. You didn't know it, did you? And then Lord willing, I'll graduate in spring and then I'll have my my time back and my family will have their time back. As we get ready to go into Rooted Week 6, some of you have already done your small group. One's already met this morning, one met yesterday. Some of us are getting ready to meet the rest of the week. We're starting Week 6 with a question that I want to start this message with. And here's a question to just reflect on today. No matter what age you are, it's a great question to think about. And here's the question. How can I make the most of my life? I mean, if you're young and you're in elementary school, high school, those kinds of things, think about that now. How can you make the most of your life? You only get one of them, right? You get one shot at this. How can you make the most of it? How can you get the most out of life? How can you enjoy life? How can you plan your life? How can you experience all that God has for you? How can I get the most out of my life? Because I think people miss that. And if you're middle age and maybe it's time to reevaluate, am I getting the most of my life? And then some of us are retired or close to retired or a little bit beyond that, and we're going, okay, in the time I have left, how can I make the most of my life? It's a great question to ask ourselves, to reflect on, and really this is what you're going to dive into Rooted the next 2 weeks as you explore what does that mean. Today, I want to take that question, I want to take you back to the very beginning. And I want us to go back to the very beginning about when God made things and how He put it together. And it's going to impact your life, going to impact my life. And we're going to see what God would have for each one of us and how to make the most of our life. And it's really based on one word. It's a word that's so key. It's so key for us to understand who God is, how to understand who we are, and how to understand our life. It's a very short word in Hebrew that we're going to unpack today. And as we look at that, I want us to walk out of here today going, okay, I get it. That's how I make the most of my life, based on this one word. And it starts in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. This is the ESV, the English Standard Version. You might have a different version, but you'll know this passage if you've ever been around church, if you've ever looked in your Bible. Even if you haven't, you're probably familiar with this passage, and you're going to look for a word that's repeated as part of the pattern that God used to create everything. Genesis 1:1, in the very beginning. In the beginning, God created. Isn't that a great way to start? It came from somewhere. You came from somewhere. There's a plan. There's a purpose. God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2, the earth was without form and void, meaning it was just chaos. It was just pieces. They weren't even together yet. It was just stuff. and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was there, was hovering over the face of the waters. And it's just God just there. And verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And that's how it begins, right? I mean, God did this. He simply spoke. Things were created, and then he evaluated it. And you see this pattern over and over with God. He starts with light, but then he moves into the next day, the next day. You can follow on. I'm just going to tell you if you don't know the order. Basically, on day two, he created the environments for life. He created the sky, the heavens, the atmosphere around this earth. And he created the land and the sea where life could flourish. That's what God was doing. He created the environments for them first. And then he evaluated. He spoke and he created. And then he evaluated and he said, this is good. And then day three, put vegetation on the earth. Something to eat. But he did something different with the vegetation. He said, you're going to produce seeds to the plants and the trees. He said, you're going to produce seeds, and now life is going to come that way. It's going to be passed down, and vegetation is going to produce seeds, and seeds produce vegetation, and then on and on and on till today. And we look outside, and we see what God did, and it just began it all, and it just kept going and going and going. Within each seed that God had the plants produce, there was life. And life began to come from life. And that's what he did on day three. And then on day four, he created the lights above, right? The sun, the moon, the stars, so we could navigate, so we could see. And God said, this is all good, and this is right. And then in day five, he created the sea creatures. He filled the fish, and he filled it with mammals, and he filled everything that he's going to go in the ocean. And he did something unusual there. He says, now kind is going to produce kind. Meaning fish produce fish, and sharks produce sharks, and dolphins produce dolphins, and that's how life is going to go from now on. And with every one of those living creatures in the sea, they had the ability to produce life, and life came from life, and God evaluated and said, this is good. And then the land creatures, and God did the same thing. He created them, and he put life in them, and then life came from life. Kind makes kind, and we see that passed down. And then God said, I'm going to make man. And he took him out of the dust in the ground, and he breathed into him. He says, now you're going to be the manager over all this, and you're going to be in charge, and you're going to produce kind after kind until you're here today sitting in the room, or you're sitting at home. And God looked at this, and he evaluated everything. He said, this is good. Life produces life, and it's good, and I made that. In Genesis 1:31, kind of his summary statement of everything, this is what God said. Verse 31, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, now it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day, and then God rested. And we live in this world, and there's a word in there that describes everything. You probably already noticed it. It's a word that's going to be a word that's passed down just like a seed from one generation to the next of what God wanted to do. And you've seen the word, right? It's a simple word. It's the word good. God said it was good. God said it was good. God said it was good, and then God, when he saw everything, said, this is very good. In Hebrew, it's a word that's really short. It's almost like a seed in itself. It's the word tov. Have you ever heard this word before, tov? I mean, it's normally, again, defined as good, and when you see that word, and it's like, good, okay, I get it. Like, Dario's food is good, right? Those of us that love Dario. Or football is good. Or baseball is good. Or my dinner was good. You know, we use that word. But for the Hebrews, that word tov was much bigger than that. Again, it was everything packed into one word. It meant good, but it also meant pleasing. Everything is pleasing. God stood back and he looked at his creation and said it pleased him. It made him feel good. And it's joyful. It produced joy in our life just to look at God's creation. That's what it did for God. And it's beneficial. It means it brings good things to our life. It makes our life better. It's beneficial. But it's also pleasant just to see it and to be around it. And then it's favorable, meaning it's God's favor in our life, and that makes us happy and it's right. And that word tov means all those things. And when they define this word or when they have to translate this word, they'll use all those different words to make it happen. We just hear good, but God means something bigger than that. Now, you might know this word tov if you ever heard Yiddish before, which is kind of Hebrew that's been changed. You ever heard the phrase mazel tov? Some of you guys have mazel tov, and it's a blessing at a Jewish wedding, mazel tov to you. The word tov is a different pronunciation of this word tov, and it means good, and mazel means fortune or destiny. So when someone's getting ready to hand out in their life and get ready to start getting married, you say, Mazel Tov. Good fortune to you. Good blessing to you. Mazel can also mean flowing down from. Goodness flowing down on your life. And that's what Jews would say to one another. Mazel Tov. May every good thing come flowing down into your life. And that's a good thing, isn't it? God's blessings in our life. Maybe you'll go out today and you'll go to lunch and you'll say to your waiter or waitress, Mazel Tov. And they'll look at you like, what? I just want God's blessings on you today. Maybe as you leave the room, those that are here, you'll say Mazel Tov. Maybe the people at home, you'll say that to one another. I just want God's best for you. It's that simple. God gave you life and he created everything around you and it's all good. And God loves good and God wants good for us. In the Old Testament, you've probably seen this word another place. Do you remember the story of Joseph? And Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers his dream about how one day he would be on top, and they would be like bowing down to him, and they hated the dream. So they were going to kill him. They decided not to kill him. Instead, they decided to sell him into slavery. So he went to slavery, got sent down to Egypt. He ends up in the home of an official. Everything's good. Everything's going well, though he's a servant and a slave. And then he's accused of rape. He's thrown into jail. Bad thing happens after bad thing. He ends up a long time in jail. He rises atop of jail, which I'm not sure is a good thing. You're in jail, right? But he ends up at the top. And then he's going to get out, but the people are going to help him get out. They forget about him until one day he gets a chance to share with Pharaoh a dream and an interpretation of the dream. And he gets out and becomes second command to Pharaoh. His life is completely turned upside down, right? And then his brothers come to Egypt because they're experiencing a famine at home, which is not a good thing. And as they come down, they don't recognize Joseph, and he doesn't want them to. They have some dialogue. He kind of takes them through some hardship. And then one day when they finally come back, he reveals himself, and he says, look, guys, you sold me into slavery. You wanted me dead. And what you meant for evil, God has meant for good. Tov, or tov. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. God does that for us, right? He wants good in our life. Look at Psalm 119, verse 69. This is what the writer of Psalms said. He said, you are good, speaking of God. God, you are tov. Your character is tov. Your heart is tov. Your very being is good. And it's everything that we need and everything that we want to experience. It's beneficial to us. It's pleasant to us. Just knowing you, God, is good. You are good. And not only that, you do good. Everything you do, God, is good. Sometimes we argue with God. God, I don't think you're being very good right now. There's something I need, something I want, and you're not giving it to me. And we see, look at God and go, God, because of my circumstances, because of my own self-centeredness, I don't think you're good. And yet, God's very nature is good, and he does good. And the scriptures are very clear about this. When we trust God and we understand that he's good, we go, if it's in our life, it's there for a reason. Because our God is good, and he's going to make this good. And he's always about doing good. And the very creation that we live in is good, and there's many blessings there. In the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 17, he writes this. He says, every good gift, everything you have in your life that's good, and every perfect gift is from above. The tov of God is coming down from above. It's raining down on us, coming down from the Father of lights. Remember that. The first thing that God created, the first thing that was good was light. And God is a God of lights, and he gives us good things from with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow, and he's always about doing good. And do you believe that? Do you believe that your God is good? And can you say that with confidence, that God is good and that the things in your life are good because of God? And can you look around and see the blessings of God, or do we look around and see only the negative and the things that are falling apart and the people around us? I mean, what are we looking for? Are we looking for God's good? If you are here in the area, and the people in the room obviously you are, if you're watching online, some of you live here. We know a lot of people that are watching online don't live in the area. Yeah, those in the area, you know what this is the year for, the time of year for, right? It's not just the fall colors, but what is falling from the sky right now? Do you, anybody have this in your yard where the hickory nuts and the acorns are falling? Does anybody have that? We have that at our house. It sounds like rain on the roof. I mean, it's like pattering of acorns, and it's raining down, and we had a car parked out in our driveway, and it sounded like rain on that, just ding, 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 and I'm wondering what it's doing to the paint job, and just falling around and go, well, that's not really good. And then I looked at the squirrels. Now, the squirrels love it. It's like a restaurant just open in their area. And the squirrels are out there working. They're picking up the acorns. They're burying them. They're all excited because God's goodness is raining down on their life. I was looking out the window about 2:30 the other night. I couldn't sleep. And there was a fox in our driveway. And it was a beautiful fox. I don't see foxes very much. And it was eating something in our driveway. And I had to look it up. Do foxes eat acorns? And the answer is yes. Did you know that? They'll eat anything, I guess. But this fox, this beautiful fox, is working his way up our driveway eating the acorns. And you know what he did? He woke up the deer that were sleeping in our neighbor's yard. And they were enjoying the acorns too. And this little thing was playing out in our yard, almost like creation, where God was saying, I started all this, and I'm continuing it. My goodness is raining down, and the animals are loving it, and they're enjoying it, and I'm taking care of them, and this is good. Yesterday, I looked out the back window, and I saw a little ground squirrel with his cheeks full. They're like chipmunks. Do you know what I'm talking about? Cheeks full of nuts. And they're burying him, trying to get him ready. So he's down there working in the leaves, and you see him all rustling, using his little itty-bitty paws. Their paws are hands. I'm going to call them paws. And he's clearing out the area, and he's about to bury his nuts, and here comes a big regular squirrel, pounced on him, never seen this before, pushed him down, took the nuts away, and carried him off and buried him. I go, that's not right. I mean, this little itty-bitty squirrel was just enjoying God's goodness, and this bigger one came to take it away. That's not good. Of course, there was plenty of nuts for everybody to eat them. And I thought it's kind of a picture of the world, isn't it? God rains down his goodness on us, and people steal, and they take, and they destroy, and they tear down people with their words, and they cause things to happen that are evil. Even though God's raining his goodness down, people don't reflect that. They live their own kind of life. They're selfish. They want their own thing. That's not good in our world. And yet God is so good, and he wants us to enjoy it. But we make our choices, and we live in a broken world where people go, I don't really want God's goodness. I want to do my own thing. In Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bibles turned there, we're going to spend a little bit of time there. Simon Peter is with a group of Gentiles after Jesus' death and resurrection, and he's trying to explain to them this God that's good. And they don't understand because that's not their culture. It's not what they're used to. They haven't had a full teaching on that. These guys want to believe in God. They're called God-fearers, and they want to hear about God. And so Simon's going to explain to them about this God in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 38. He wants them to know. In verse 34, it says this, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. Part of God's goodness is he doesn't care what your skin color is or where you're from, in the sense of he doesn't show partiality, doesn't look at one as better than the other ones. Here's a Jew, Simon, speaking to Gentiles. He says, God's not partial to one of us. We're not better than you. You're not better than me. We're simply all here together in God's goodness. And it says, but in every nation, understand the word nation there is the word ethnos, every people group, every race group. It says, God's working in all of them. It says, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. People that come to him, if they really fear God, if they come to him out of humility and seek him, he doesn't care about what other people care about. He just wants you to come. It doesn't matter where you're from. That's part of God's goodness. He just reaches out. The next verse, he says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. And then parentheses, parenthetical, he is Lord of all. Simon wanted the Gentiles to know something. He says, God has good news for you. It's really good news. We call it the gospel, right? Do you know what the gospel means? I mean, good news. It means three really different things in Scripture, in the New Testament at least. Here's the three things. When Jesus came, he said, let me tell you some good news. The kingdom of God is now on the earth. And within the kingdom of God, God takes care of his people. It says Jesus would go from town to town telling the good news of the kingdom. Within the kingdom, you have a king, and this is a good king. And he protects, and he provides, and he gives life to you. This is what Jesus taught. The kingdom is now here. The kingdom of God is amongst you. It's in your hearts. Understand that's good news. It's on the earth. And the kingdom, God's will is done as it is in heaven. And that's why you want to be in the kingdom, because that's where every good and perfect gift is. And that's what Jesus taught. And then when you look at the writings of Paul, Paul says, I want to tell you a little bit broader than that, because now Jesus has died and he's risen. Let me tell you what the good news is for us. All that Jesus taught about the kingdom is good, but now Jesus has added some stuff to that. And what has he added? He says, in your heart, you're not good and you're not righteous, but Jesus Christ has come to cover your sins, to take away your sins, and he died for your sins and he rose again. Now you can have life. That's the gospel to Paul. Jesus died for us. That's good news. We've got to tell everybody the good news. Sometimes we look at this and go, I don't want to tell people about the Jesus or about my religion or my belief, because they might think it's bad news. Paul said, this is incredible news. People are seeking God all over the world, and they want to know that there is something real. They want to know there is something better. They do want to know how to know this God. Tell them the good news. Jesus came to make this possible. And then Simon Peter, he tells us what his understanding of the good news is right there in that verse. The good news of peace. What does that mean? Peace with God. Jesus came to bring peace with God so that you could have a relationship with your Father. Where there was war before because of your sin, now there's peace. So you put all that together, and the gospel is rich and it's full, and it's kind of like the word tov. There's so much there. It's so rich that we say good news and we think it's just one small thing. It's just everything that God has for us, a relationship, all the blessings of God. It is good. And then Simon Peter goes on to teach him some new things. He says, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea. You know what happened in Judea where Jesus was. Beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, this is Jesus' life, Simon's telling them. And then he goes and says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with the power. And he went around doing what? Good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Simon says, let me tell you about Jesus in just a short phrase. He went around doing good. This is how Jesus lived his life. Wherever he went, he did the tov of God. He brought the goodness of God with him, and he made it happen for people. And Jesus didn't care if they were polite or if they were rude. He didn't care if they were rich or they were poor. He didn't care anything about their background. He just did good for people. You know that, right? He healed people. Some of them were very rude to Jesus. Some of them were very humble. He just did good. There was 5,000 men plus their families one day, and they were just hungry. And he didn't put a stipulation on this. He said, look, I'm just going to feed them because they're hungry. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to commit to following me. There were no stipulations coming into it. I had someone stop by here at the church a few weeks ago, and they were kind of talking about their church and what they were doing. They said, we heard that you guys do a food pantry. Yes. He said, well, that's really nice. That's philanthropy. I go, well, in my head, I go, no, that's the love of God. It's the love of God. He was kind of saying, well, if you don't do something with the gospel with it, if you don't really share, you're not doing anything. It's like, no. We're showing the love of God. We're doing the good things. This is what Jesus did. There was no stipulation. We're just giving you food. Jesus fed 4,000 Gentiles. No stipulation. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to tithe. He didn't give them anything. He just said, I'm just going to feed you. Because God is good, and this is what God does in the world. Zacchaeus was up in a tree, and he was a rejected person in his society. And Jesus looked up at him and says, let's do lunch. Let's just hang out. Why? Because that's good to do that for people. Levi, a tax collector, also excluded from the society. And Jesus said, let's have a party. Invite all your friends, because parties are good. And we're going to hang out and have a good time. What was Jesus' first miracle? He went to a wedding. They came to him and said, what? The wine is gone. We don't have any more wine. And Jesus goes, okay, what's that got to do with me? Kind of basically he's talking to his mom. Then he says, okay, we're going to make wine. And we're not going to charge anybody for it because we're getting it out of water and water's free. And so he made wine for them. And the guy tasted it and said, this is the best wine. Why? Because it was good. And he gave him a present that day. And we don't know the connection that Jesus had with this young couple getting married. We just know he went there to do something good. And that's what God does. And he planted seeds of goodness wherever he went. Jesus sat down one day with his followers. He says, I want to teach you now. Let's spend some time teaching. We know it is a Sermon on the Mount. we're told, or if you study this, you'll know that he probably gave this speech several times. Why? Because the guys had it down perfect. This was his main sermon he would go around and teach, and he would talk about the kingdom. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is about, the goodness of the kingdom. And he says, I want you to live in the kingdom, and this is how it looks. Luke chapter 9, or chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, I want you to see what he taught. Again, this is from Luke's account of it. And Jesus is talking about good. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit. All right, just a simple thing. Let's go back to creation. Jesus talks about day 3, God created the vegetation of the world. And I want you to understand that good things, good trees produce good fruit. Because no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. It produces kind. It produces the same kind. Does that make sense? That animals produce animals. Zebras produce zebras. Human beings produce human beings. Fish produce fish. This is the way of the world. And good trees produce good fruit. Does that make sense? This is what we're here for. The tov of God is passed down the same way. He goes on, for figs are not gathered from thorn bushes. What do thorn bushes do? They stab you, right? They tear your clothes. If you're trying to work on them, they tear your hands up. You don't get figs from those. He says, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. What's a bramble bush? I heard it described as a wait-a-minute bush. You've been hiking and you walk into one of those and it grabs your clothes and you got that decision to make. You've probably been there before, like, do I move forward and rip my clothes or do I stop and try to pull this off? When I was younger, I just kept going and tore my shirt most of the time. Now I know you stop and you pull it off. But it's there, but it doesn't produce grapes. Grapevines produce grapes. Bramble bushes create bramble bushes. And good trees produce good fruit. He goes on to say, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So inside your heart, what is there? Is it evil or good? Because what you'll produce is what's in here. Because kind produces kind. Good things produce good things. In Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount, there's a portion that speaks to this. You probably know this. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It's an easy teaching. Jesus is going to compare us to two things. And he's going to compare us so that we'll understand what it means to bring tov in the world. First part, he says, you are the salt of the earth. And salt is good, right? How many guys are salt people in here? You guys any salt people? How many are the sweet people in here? Okay. How many are both? Just be nice. All right, let's be honest with it. Then for those of you that raised your hand when you said you're a sweet person, would the person around you agree that you're sweet? That's a good question to ask for today. I'm a salt person. I love things with salt. I think it adds flavor, and I just like the taste of salt. And then Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. You add good things to the world. You make it taste better. He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Well, how does that happen? Well, just know in Jesus' day, what you bought for salt wasn't pure. It was mixed in with different minerals. And sometimes it had sand in there. And you'd use the salt, and until all it was left was the other stuff, the stuff that wasn't salt. And that wasn't good for anything. It wasn't salt anymore. It lost its saltiness. And it can't be restored unless you add more salt. And then he says it's no longer good. There's no more tov in it. When you're just like everybody else, when you're just like the world, there's no good left. You're just like everybody else. You can't tell the difference. He says, no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He said, be different. Be good. Verse 14, he says, now you are the light of the world. He's going back to creation. The very first thing that God created was light. And the thing that God said, he said, it's good. And then he says to you, you're the light of the world. You are good when you show light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You see it from all over when it's dark. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. You want it to be seen. And then he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What does he say to do? It's really simple, right? be light. How do you be light? You do good works. You find good things to do for people. Pick up trash when you see it. Hold a door open for someone. Speak words of encouragement to someone around you. Make sure their life is better. Do something nice for someone. Just do good wherever you go. Just do good works. It's what you're created for, and then your light shines. And this is what God wants. Because people that live that kind of life have good inside them, the tov of God, and their job is to give it out, to be light, just like little seeds planted around full of goodness. And Jesus was a radical. You knew that, right? He would draw some really radical lines. I wish Christ followers all over the world, I wish I followed this next one. Go back to Luke now, chapter 6, 27 to 28. Jesus wants to really push us on this. He says, but I say to you here, meaning everybody listening, he says, love your enemies. And then he says this, do good to those who hate you. Sometimes we go, it's enough not to hate somebody. Jesus says, I'm going to push you on this one. Do tov to people that you don't like. Do tov to people who disagree with you. Do tov to people on the other side of the political fence from you. Do tov to that neighbor who dumps their trash in your yard. Do tov to the person at work that says things that you just can't stand. Do tov to that boss that's just not good to you. Do tov to that teacher who's not fair to you. Teachers, do tov to the student that you just wish they would go home sick one day, right, when they're in your class. Do tov to people. Why? Because God does that to us. He says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. That's when you're really light, and that's when you're really salt, and that's really when you're a good tree. If we could go back to the question we started with, how can I make the most of my life? In your rooted studies, you're going to talk about something totally different. I don't want to cover that same ground. You're going to talk about your spiritual gifts, and you're going to look that up, and there'll be some websites you can go check those on. You're going to look at some scriptures that point you in a direction about careers and things like that. I just want to do something really broad. How can I make the most of my life? Well, here's three things, real simple things. One, do good. It's so simple. I think sometimes we try to complicate what it means to follow Jesus. He says simply, just do good. Be salt, be light. Wherever you go, just do good. Next thing, say good things. Don't be critical. Don't be negative. Don't tear people down. Just say good things to them. And then live a good life. Good, the way God describes it, the way God defines it. Live a tov life. That's a good life, right? If we did this every single day, if we just did good, again, not perfect, not holy, because we're still dependent, always dependent on the blood of Christ, but out of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, he says, do good. Live a good life. At the end of the day, you want people to say, I lived a good life. So here's three questions you can ask yourself to help you on the line as you do this. As you get ready to do something, is what I'm about to do good? Does it produce good in the world? That's a great question. I'm about to go to the store. I'm about to go to work. Am I going to do something that's good? Second question, is what I'm about to say good? Before you speak to your family, before you speak at work, before you type into Facebook, is what I'm about to say good? Will it build people up or tear them down? It's a great question. It's really simple, right? What if we evaluated everything that we said in social media this way? Is one about to say good? Not is it right? Does it get my opinion across? Is it going to produce good in other people? And here's the next one. How can I bring good to the world? Great question. What if you ask yourself that every day? How am I going to bring good to the world today? And here's three suggestions on how to do that. Real simple thing. Start close. What I mean by that, start close means to help people around you. Your family, start there. It's the hardest place to do good, isn't it? Start good in your family. Let them eat first. Wash the dishes. Pick up the dirty laundry. Throw them in the washing machine sometime. Actually clean them, right? Write a little note of encouragement to someone in your family. Compliment them. Do that today. Start close. Do it at work. Do it in your neighborhood. Do it in your church. Do it in your school. Just simply do it close. Second thing is start small. Start close, then start small. You don't have to do anything big. We're not looking for home runs here, just singles. What if every day you hit a single of goodness? Not a huge thing, just a small thing, something small, and start now. Don't wait till tomorrow on the way out today. Hold the door open for someone. If you're at home, get out of bed, right? If you're still in bed, do something good. Start now. Do something really small. Take the garbage out. Go, wow, I did something good for my world today. Do something and start close. Start small and start now. A couple of things and we'll close up. For those in Rooted, your memory verse this week, we have memory verses, Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorites. We are God's handiwork. Paul went back to the beginning and says, you know what, you're part of creation. And God looked at creation and said, it's good. And I've said this before, the word handiwork is the word poema. We get the word poem from it. You are God's poem to the world. You're his masterpiece. You're part of the beauty that God created. Don't look at the outside. You're going, oh, I don't know about that for me. God looks at you and says, you're amazing. You're absolutely amazing. You're my handiwork. Everything about you is good. Everything about the way I created you is good. And you're created and I'm created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. Why are you here? Why am I here? To do good works. It's really simple. Find a career. Those who are looking for a career, find a career where you can do good works for the world. If you can't do good works to your career, do it for the people that work at your career. You were created to do good works. You have gifts. You have talents. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have spiritual gifts. Focus those like a laser and do good works. And these good works were prepared in advance for us to do. From the very creation of the world, God said, I see you. Do you know that the DNA in you, the atoms in you, was existing at the very beginning of creation? It just gets passed down from kind to kind to kind. We all share a common ancestor. And in that common ancestor was everything that created us. And God said, this is good. You are part of God's good creation. And you were created to do good works a long time ago. Here's a goal I'm just going to throw at you. This is something you want people to say about you. Wouldn't this be fun? If at the end of your career, you're leaving on vacation after you spent time with friends, you went over to a friend's house and had dinner, and they just thought this in their head. They're probably not going to say this out loud, because this would be incredible for have somebody say this out loud about you, wouldn't it? What if they said, my life is better because of you? My life is better because of you. My job was better because you worked here. My neighborhood is better because you were my neighbor. This vacation was better because I went with you. This meal was better because I enjoyed the conversation. My life is better because of you. Huge thing. We control that. How do we control that? By doing good. I want to leave you with a quote from John Wesley. One of my favorite quotes really ties this thing together. And he wrote it down in a type of poem, but it's a great challenge for today. He says this, do all the good you can. By all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That's the Tov of God. You are created to do good works. What do you do to make the most of your life? Do good. It's that simple. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that you are good. You are a good, good Father. And at times we may not see that. We might argue with it about it. But ultimately, we need to look around the world and we realize how good you are. You are so good that you sent your son into this broken and crazy world that we've messed up. And you sent your son because you're good and you love. And your son came. And he came to give us his righteousness to be imputed to us. It's an amazing thing that you look at us and you don't see us. You see Jesus. And his righteousness and his goodness because of his death on the cross. And if we've accepted Christ, that's how you see us. And if we are in the kingdom, that's how we experience it. And you are so patient with us. We mess up. We do things that aren't good. And you are so patient with us. And you have a plan for us. And you have a future for us. And you're creating a paradise for us. You just do it all because of your love for us. Because you are good and you look at us. And because of who you are, you say, we are good. Thank you for the Tov that you started the creation with, and you continue every single day to pour out your Tov in our world and help us live it out and do good wherever we can. Thank you for Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen. To those in the room and to online, we do want to say thank you, and there's a short blessing in Psalm 23. You guys know it. where David writes, and he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What is he saying? This is our blessing for you from God. Simply, may God's blessings, may God's goodness follow you all the days of your life, that you may dwell in his house forever. So online, I want to thank you. Have a great week. I hope I can see you again. I knew you guys saw us today, but we hope we can see you soon and just continue to follow Christ. Thank you for being here.